Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast, episode 173, that iconic number. I'm Matt Cause, that's Bob Mackowitz. Bob, I never thought I would say this, but we actually were talking right before, and we were ripping the acting ability of Denzel Washington.
Well, let's be more specific, Matt. Acting ability. Just his integrity as a human being.
Yes. Yeah.
No, we're today on the AMC questions that you threw out. One of them is best Denzel performances. And we realized he hasn't done a comedy before.
No, I've never seen him do a comedy. Clearly a coward. Because comedy is harder than drama. It's easier to make someone cry than to make them laugh.
See, and he's funny, but maybe he's funny in a dramatic role. I think his character in Training Day is very funny, but it's a very dark, sardonic comedy.
Yeah.
Like, not a comedy, but his touch. He seems really gleeful about putting Ethan Hawke through the paces.
Especially like the, when did Ethan Hawke have to like smoke crack?
Yeah, I believe it was meth. It was something. Yeah, it was something. A pipe was involved.
Yeah. But it was an aggressive. It wasn't like, hey, do this marijuana. Now you're in the shit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Smoke a little weed. You can walk down Queen Street on any given day and find 50 dispensaries. Smoke a little meth. Yeah. It's the old Fred Shiro line. About commitment versus, let me get this right. Commitment versus contribution. Mm-hmm. When you have breakfast, the chicken made a contribution. The pig made a commitment.
Yes.
So
that works. Took a
while to get there, but there we are. So I got so much I want to get to today, Matt. And your AMC questions are so good. Can we dive in with some quick sports?
Sure.
So Vince finally retired after 22 seasons.
He sure did, Bob. He sure did.
So you've always been proud of me for the fact that despite my rational leanings, I have never been rational about Vince.
I love it. Everyone needs layers. No one, one note when it comes to everything is boring.
So I tweeted out yesterday, I did it. I made it to the end. I never forgave him while he played.
Yeah,
success. Take that, Vince, in your Hall of Fame career. Now, here's the challenge. Now he's retired.
Yeah.
Does the healing begin, or do we hang on to the grudge forever? I'm not sure.
The negative of holding on to the grudge is, you know, the whole life's too short and all that. How about this? I'm not holding on to the grudge, but if someone brings up Vince, I'm not going to go glowing terms when it comes to Vince Carter. I'm still going to believe that Vince did more for basketball in Canada than he did for basketball for the Raptors.
It's undeniable. I'm not sure I buy the argument that people throw out there that without Vince, Toronto and basketball would have died.
It accelerated it. He accelerated the growth of basketball. He didn't save it.
Yeah. God, I loved him so much when he played, too, because we were just waiting for someone to be awesome. And there were glimpses. Damon was a good player. Marcus Camby could have been a good player. Tracy was a great player, but not for us. Vince was the guy for all of us who had been down with the Raptors since 95. When he came on board, we didn't have to wait that long for him. We only waited about 5-6 years, but it just meant so much. The excitement around Air Canada, seeing Rod Black get worked up on the old CTV broadcasts.
It was, yeah, absolutely. Or just, I was watching a top 10 and, you know, just hearing Chuck Swirsky as well, you know, going nuts. Listen, Vince is a part of the history of the Raptors. He's an important part. Should he have his jersey retired? I don't think so. Should he have his statue? No. Is he a big part of the history? Yes.
Oh, my God. I got a tough one here. Are you ready? Here's an impromptu random. Most important figure ever to the Raptors organization. Vince, Kawhi, Masai, Drake.
Masai first, Drake is fourth, Kawhi second, Vince third.
Okay, I think I could see that. I might flip Drake and Vince. I agree with Masai. I agree with Kawhi. I think I would flip Drake and Vince because I think Drake doesn't get the credit he deserves with true basketball fans for how much he's done for the organization.
I'm always a little bitter. I went to his restaurant once, and I found the wine list to be a little wanting.
The amazing thing about that, Matt, is I know that's not a joke.
It's not. It really isn't. And the white wine was too warm.
I know you really mean it.
Yeah.
Who's an athlete that you could never forgive? And it can't be someone you just didn't like. Like, you can't say
Kevin Ron. Durant. Kevin Durant.
Really?
My God. Yes. Yes.
Why?
Because for years he ruined basketball. From the Golden State Warriors winning percentage in the playoffs from the moment he arrived until the moment Golden State took on the Raptors was like over 80%, like over 800. And then in the finals, it was, you know, they would barely lose and they'd win most of their games by double digits. Bleep you, Durant. Go create another burner Twitter account, you loser.
I don't know, Matt. If you're going to hate Durant, I feel like you have to hate LeBron. Because
they were different, he started a modern super team.
Pardon?
They were different circumstances. Listen, I was not thrilled when LeBron left. I hated it. But, you know, Cleveland often gave him his second best player would be like, God, who's like Agoskis or something. Like his second best player would be horrible. At least with LeBron, at least in OKC, they had smart management. And, you know, there was Harden for a while and Westbrook and Ibaka. So, you know, I don't, to me, they're not exactly apples to apples.
Okay, agreed. But two things here. One is, let's not underestimate how hard it would be to try to be Batman to Russell Westbrook's Robin. Because I'm not sure Westbrook wanted to be Robin. And Durant may have looked around and said, this ain't going to work. Now, it almost did. Obviously, they were up 3-1 and it fell apart. But you can imagine the like, I get exhausted just from Russell Westbrook's Instagram account. Having to play with him every day may have taken a greater toll. And, you know, there was obviously beef there and they've tried to bury it and maybe underplay it. But clearly, it's a John Wall, Bradley Beal kind of thing where just you have two guys who want to be the alpha. And we're used to the beta leaving, but maybe he was smart. He was the alpha who left because he had the opportunity.
Yeah. And then where'd he go? He's like, and then he goes to Golden State. Get out of here. And then he's in Golden State, the greatest, you know, just in terms of like total combination of coaching staff, unselfish, elite level players. He's like, I've had enough of this.
Okay. Do you remember when Steve Nash went to the Lakers?
Yeah, that was a disaster.
Yeah. But for a while, it looked like they couldn't be beaten, right? We were all grumbling. This is ridiculous. We might as well just hand them the trophy. Would we have hated Steve Nash if that team had become dominant for 2 years? Would you have said Steve Nash is the worst human being to ever play basketball the way you do with Kevin Durant? Because he left a good organization that was run by smart people and had lots of great players, but he went to the Lakers. And if they had become dominant, who hated him?
But the difference is when Nash went there, he went there at the very end of his career when he could no longer be the best or second best player. Durant, when he left, he was at the peak of his powers. And also, if we're going to talk about hard living, hard loving, heartbreaks, Nash certainly had a lot more scars, especially being in Phoenix with that cheap-ass owner than Kevin Durant did in OKC.
Okay, but isn't there something to be said that Durant went to a team that already had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, but specifically Steph, because Steph at the time was one of the three or four best players in the league.
Yep.
Already. And Durant was one of the three or four best players in the league already.
Yep.
The willingness to go there and try to find a way to make it work, isn't that more admirable than the guy who wants to leave a good team just so he can get paid and, you know, be on a mediocre team but be the number one option? Isn't it more admirable to try and fit in than to break off and say, I'm trying to get as much of mine when I can?
If those are my two options, then yes. When you just use those two, like themes, of those two themes, yes, I'll choose the non, I'm going full Carmelo. But when you do Durant, you have to do the full picture there. And by the way, Bob, like, all your arguments are good ones. Still doesn't mean I'm going to forgive Durant for making the NBA super predictable for a bunch of years.
So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Do John Elway's trophies count more? Like, I mean, Super Bowl trophies specifically. Do they count more than Troy Aikman's when we count them? Because the Broncos, certainly on offense, weren't nearly as good as the Cowboys were on offense under Troy Aikman. Like, the Cowboys were like a super team.
Yeah.
And the Broncos offense, you have said many times, they had a great defense. But, you know, they weren't like the world's greatest offense. So, like, do we remember and say Elway's trophies count for more than Troy Aikman's? Or do we say Troy has three and John Elway has two?
I say they all count the same, but Elway is clearly the better quarterback.
Okay. So if Durant had never won a trophy in OKC, we would think of him as we do Charles Barkley. Great player who never won.
Yes, but we did more of that 20 years ago in terms of how much we weigh winning or not winning a championship. We weigh it a little bit less now. And in fact, we now shame when someone like Draymond Green, is ripping Barkley and brings up no rings. You know, before we would have been like, yeah. But now we go, come on, Draymond. That's not the best argument.
So I feel like we started talking about Vince, and now we've got into a five-minute debate about something that happened in 2016.
Five minutes? It's about 8 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Maybe some of the themes of Vince, you know. Well, it's just you're so passionate about it, and I know you'll never move off of it. And it's such, look, I see why you say what you do, but at the core of it, at the absolute core of it, you will never move off of this because it's not logical. It's emotional for you.
If you go look at their winning percentages in the playoffs and tell me that, you know, that there was an air of mystery when that team was healthy, what was going to happen in the playoffs? We knew what was going to happen, so it robbed my sports fun. So that is selfish on my part. That's where it comes from. It's a combination of emotional selfishness, but it is backed by statistics.
Do you remember that time when San Antonio beat Miami when it was LeBron's first year in Miami?
It was Dallas.
My apologies, Dallas. Do you remember when that happened?
Yes, I kept game six on my PVR for as long as possible. I loved it.
Yeah, but we all knew that Miami was going to win, right?
Yes.
Like, we basically handed it to them, right?
Yeah.
They didn't, did they?
No, not the first
year. So I guess nothing's a guarantee. And so even when you look at it and you say, well, it took away my sports happy. Well, because it didn't work out that time. But just a few years before that, you got your sports happy because the Mavs beat the Heat. It's kind of a coin toss, Maddie.
I don't think it's a coin toss. I think 80%+ doesn't make it a coin toss. A coin toss denotes 50-50.
Mm-hmm. You mean like the year that the Warriors set the single season record in the regular season for playoff wins and then lost to the Cavs that year in the playoffs? You mean guarantees like that?
You mean lost in game seven when it also required Draymond Green getting booted out for groin trauma on LeBron James? And it required LeBron and Kyrie for seven games to play at a level that they don't usually ever play at in the postseason against the top team.
That's an excellent series of points, and we should notify everybody in Cleveland they're taking their trophy away because of them.
No, not taken away, but it's so many things had to happen in just the right order for them to win that title, which I was rooting for Cleveland to win that title.
So many things had to happen in order, sort of like every championship that was ever won by anybody.
No, I think some are more preordained than others.
That may be true, but your argument that things are preordained in sports, I think you can just look at hockey and say it's an awful lot of cup final teams that were not preordained.
You're skitting and scatting on the different sports here. We've now added three more minutes to our Durant debate.
Okay, this is deranged. Let's just move on. I want to talk to you about...
Sure.
Since we brought up hockey, I want to talk to you about COVID.
Yep.
So the Vancouver Health Board is at odds with the NHL about trying to make Vancouver a hub city.
Yeah.
Does that affect how you think Toronto should be viewed? Like, by the league, by our own health officials?
Yes, of course. 100%. If, you know, Vancouver, their numbers are better than Ontario and Toronto. And listen, I mean, you know, we're doing pretty good. We still need to do better and all of that. But yes, if Vancouver and British Columbia is concerned, then Toronto should be. Everyone just go to Mystery Alaska. Just go to Mystery Alaska. Russell Crowe becomes the new commissioner. We're fine.
That's a great idea. And actually, why don't they just go and get an island like Dana White did?
Well, now remember, it's not really an island. It was just, you know, it's basically like the Disneyland in Dubai. And the island is like a stone's throw from the airport there. He cheated. I wanted a Jurassic Park island. Instead, I got something that is closer to the mainland than the Toronto Island is to me right now.
It's a little disappointing, but in our minds,
yeah,
we can imagine it as the island from Enter the Dragon.
That's what we wanted.
That's what we wanted. You know what? One day.
Yeah.
One day. I feel like it'd be impossible now to give Toronto the games should the NHL resume.
Yeah.
Impossible on the part of the Ontario government to let it happen. I think Doug Ford has been pretty good about listening to experts. And if Bonnie Henry is saying that you can't do it in BC, I can't imagine they're thinking we could do it here. But now is the NHL starting to look a little villainous for pushing it on people? Like, is that a shaming move to you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some shaming in it. God, I appreciate the NHL for waiting as long as they did. Now, I don't know if that's because they're being indecisive or because they wanted to read the numbers. And there is something a little unsettling about, like, dangling it there. Just give it all to Edmonton. If Edmonton's got the best, the numbers for it, and they've got the infrastructure, you know, just do it for that. We saw the tourism video that Jason Kenney put out, which was kind of weird because it looked like a honeymoon video.
Did you think it was unfair of Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun and Sun Media to specifically name Austin Matthews as somebody who had COVID?
That one seemed odd. Like, I wasn't bothered by it because I feel that it's good to find out who has it because this is a public issue. And in terms of tracing and tracking, I'm not 100% on that position because I do understand that when it comes to your personal health, well, it's personal. But like the PGA said, okay, these were the caddies that got it. And all that info was out there right from the start. The NHL feels like they're being really sort of protective about it. And then I think social media got angrier because it was Steve Simmons. If it was someone we love, like everyone, like Sean Fitzgerald, we all love Sean Fitzgerald. We all love The Athletic. I feel the social media anger would have been less.
It's 1,000,000% right. If Darren Dreger had done it, he'd get ripped. If Bob McKenzie had done it, there would have been dissent, but certainly less ripping.
Yeah.
You know, Steve does it, gets ripped. Feschuk would get ripped. Bruce Arthur?
Yeah.
Much less.
Yes. It,
you know, this also speaks to the record that they all have, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a completely unfair comparison. I think that Dreger and McKenzie hold themselves differently. And I'm not doing that as a knock against Dreger. And I'm not saying that fearfully either. I'm just saying I think Dreger gets maligned for a lot of things. But he puts himself out there differently than McKenzie. Yep. Does. McKenzie is the master. The master. He's the George Clooney. He is the master of playing both sides.
Oh, yeah. And that's never going to be Steve. It was verified. He went through all the channels. The lawyers okayed it. So when I saw him, like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I didn't think it was as big a deal as some people made it out to be. I do think it was increased because it was Steve. Although, like you, I understand. Like, I think that's a judgment call. As a reporter, you got to make judgment calls all the time. I'm not sure that the hockey world loves reporting necessarily.
No, they're not very transparent.
You know, it's a league that, you know, upper body, lower body, like think about the NFL and how it discloses its information because of gambling. But they practically send out x-rays when a guy gets hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. aside from New England, 31 other teams, absolutely.
Exactly. I have a theory about the Leafs winning the Cup this year.
All right. All right. By the way, that'll be the header. Macko and Cause podcast, : Bob thinks Leafs will win the Cup.
And it was inspired by Liverpool winning the Premier League championship this year. Mm-hmm. Just happened the other day. They had broken a 30-year drought and everybody was happy, but it was kind of insane that they did it, you know, and there's no crowds and it's hard to get together with people and celebrate. And it made me think, like, what would happen if the Leafs won? Couldn't have a parade. You couldn't even have like a street party to get together. First of all, everybody would break those rules. But wouldn't it be weird if they won on home ice and it was to an empty arena?
Yeah, it would be. It would be incredibly, it would be so strange. It would get made fun of. In some ways, it would make sense because it goes on that theme of tortured fan base. Fine, we're going to let you win, but in the most outlier of seasons ever. So, in that sense, it makes sense.
Because I'm convinced the stupider of two options will always happen, that's why I think the Leafs are going to win this year. They're going to go on a heater. Freddie Anderson's going to be hot, and they're going to roll through. They're going to win, and nobody's going to know what to do.
Yep. Well, I mean, at least on the positive, a lot of the areas where the protests were going on, they didn't see spikes in coronavirus cases. So I imagine most of the people protesting were wearing masks, and you're outdoors. So there's less. Same thing with Bell Trinity Park, where there wasn't a huge outbreak. It still doesn't excuse everyone who was so clumped together. The idea is to get some distance. So maybe we could go out and celebrate. Just there's not going to be a parade, and everyone's not going to be on double-decker buses and no barricades.
I want to talk to you a little bit about baseball, but why don't we drop in an AFC conversation first?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give you my favorite one that we did this week.
Okay.
In honor of the Starship Enterprise, what are your favorite fictional modes of transportation?
Can I go first?
Yep.
All right. And I didn't order them because I only got the email this morning, so I didn't really have time to think of an order. Fair. But I'm just going to throw out ones that I really like. We mentioned it last week on the pod, but the Nautilus from Captain Nemo in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yep.
Super gnarly futuristic submarine. I love Wonder Woman's invisible jet because I think it would be the most terrifying thing in the world to fly.
Yeah, it would be.
The Batmobile, obviously.
Wait, which Batmobile?
Oh, the Adam West one.
Okay.
The Adam West one. No question. It had flames that came out of the back. Come on, Matt. This is a weird one, but I thought I would get a little bit funky with this one. The Rainbow Bridge in the Thor comics that allow you to travel throughout the nine realms.
That's a great one. I totally didn't think about that.
Thank you. And then finally, the phone booth in Bill and Ted's that allows you to travel through time.
That was all my honorable mentions.
Okay, so that's my list in no particular order. How about you, Maddie?
Okay, first I'll just rhyme out my honorable mentions and you can comment afterwards. This will only take a second. The X-Wing in Star Wars, the Batmobile, Michael Keaton's version, the movie Vacation, the Wagon Queen family truckster, the hoverboard in Back to the Future, the Spinner 2019 in Blade Runner, Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters, the Bluesmobile.
Oh my God, that's a good list. What the hell beat that list?
Oh, here's the top five. At number five, Bob, the Ruby Slippers.
Ooh, good one. Clever.
At number four, the EM50 Urban Assault Vehicle from Stripes.
And
the top three are all obvious, but they got to be there. I like the Batmobile from Dark Knight, the DeLorean, and number one, because it has to be number one, it's a fast enough ship for you, old man, the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, wow. Your list is absolutely fabulous, man. Yeah. Great list.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
let's start. By the way, it needs... Yeah, sorry. Go.
Let's start with the number one. So when we were kids and they used to have Star Wars toys that you would play with as opposed to just keeping the boxes for their value.
Yeah.
There were two kinds of kids. There were kids who wanted the Millennium Falcon and there were kids who wanted the model of the Death Star. Which one were you? Did you want the Death Star or did you want the Falcon?
Well, I often rooted, I was the one who often rooted for the bad guys. I had all the Decepticons and Cobra, but in this case, I wanted the Millennium Falcon. I wanted Han Solo and Chewie and Lando.
Is Han Solo the greatest support character of all time?
My initial instinct is to obviously say yes to that, because my God, I top it is my thing. You can think of some other good ones, but top it.
I'm hard-pressed to think of another character who is really there to support the main actor, like the Luke Skywalker character, who so totally dominates that character in terms of how we view the story. The Falcon's a big part of it, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, the cool ship is a huge part of the Han Solo mystique.
Well, it's an avatar of what he's like. It's the bucket of bolts that gets the job done.
Yep.
It wouldn't have worked if he was young and super good looking. I guess he was young and super good looking at the time, but like a pretty boy kind of good looking. Like if he had a kind of a...
He was a scoundrel.
Like if he had a Rob Lowe look, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, that wouldn't work at all. He was hot scoundrel is what he was.
Yeah. That's just the best thing in the world to be. Is there anything better to be than handsome scoundrel?
No. It's something that'll never happen. And at 45, I don't think I can get it now. Absolutely not. It's probably one of the reasons why we loved him.
See, what you are is you're adorable rascal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I am. Damn it.
And I'm disappointed teacher.
How come we never went to the bars together to pick up the ladies?
Hey, man, I was a great wingman back in the day. Because I wasn't afraid to drink and I wasn't afraid to talk. So,
yeah.
The conversation never got quiet.
I was a good you're right. I was a good wingman as well when I wasn't trying to pick up because then it took the pressure off. If I was trying to help someone else, then great. But if the bar was loud, you've negated all my powers.
I want to jump down. You mentioned the X-Wing fighter. I was always a little disappointed by the X-Wing. I thought that the TIE fighters were cooler in design. And I loved that Darth had his own, that the TIE fighters had the rectangular wings, but they were angled inwards.
Yeah.
Like trough for darts so that you could identify him when he was in a pack, in a cluster. I love Darth's TIE fighter.
It was so cool. It's like Julius Caesar. Or wait, who was it? Who was it that would, not Julius Caesar, from like ancient Roman days that when battle broke out, he wore red so everyone knew who he was. So come get some. I'm trying to remember who that was historically, but it was badass.
Oh my God, I just thought of an amazing mode of transportation, fictional. The razor-tipped chariot from Ben-Hur.
That's a great one, yes.
And another one, because that one gets picked up again in Grease. But Grease Lightning, a classic car.
A classic car, you're right.
I was thinking about ZZ Top's The Eliminator the other day. Now, that's a real car, but do you remember when we were kids, like how fascinated video culture and MTV and Much Music was with ZZ Top and The Eliminator, the big red car?
There was like four channels and he had a VHS machine. Absolutely.
Man, I wanted The Eliminator so bad. Okay, so do you want to go on to sports or do you want to do another AMC here?
One final thought I want to pick up on. And sure. then we'll go back to sports. Your Wonder Woman was so badass. Everyone else gets into a plane with a floor. She's like, I don't need that. Like, that is brave as hell.
Did I ever tell you that I tried to invent the worst product ever and I came up with one? You know, glass bottom boats?
Yep.
Glass bottom elevators.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine the terror of having to be at work and ride up and down in a glass bottom elevator? I think that elevators to me are like the height of how humanity is A, stupid, B, highly adaptable. Like we stick ourselves in a box and go hundreds of feet in the air suspended by a cable because we can't see what we're doing.
Yeah. And we don't think about it.
But we look at window cleaners and think that's the most insane job in the world.
God, I hope they're paid well. Oh, like, please, I don't want to find out. They better make more than me. I'll just say that.
I don't know what you make, but I don't think so.
Oh, I hope they do. Back to sports. What you want to get to baseball?
If it's 60 games.
Yeah.
I just saw a number, and it was the win projection for the Los Angeles Dodgers was 37 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's really, really weird. Is 60 too little in baseball? And I say this because, you know, I love the shortened seasons. And the 40-plus game season in hockey has always been exciting. But is 60 too little? Because that would sort of numerically be the equivalent of about 28 to 30 games in hockey. Is 60 too little to actually come up with playoff teams?
Yes. In baseball, it is. It's every game is worth 2.7. And the number one example is the Nationals had a losing record after 60 games this year.
It just feels like because of the way, and maybe we're just used to it. Maybe it would change if they were, you know, you'd manage differently if there was only 60 games, but we don't really know anything about a team after 60 games. Just the same way you don't really know anything about a hockey team after 20.
Mm-hmm.
You need at least 40 in hockey, at least 40.
And yes.
By that math, half of 62 would be 80. Not great, but certainly better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am so underwhelmed by this whole baseball. It's just like we thought we were hate watching Houston. We're just going to hate watch the entire league because the number one story is going to be either asterisks on numbers or 2021 when the CBA is up. Those are the two biggest stories. And COVID.
Right. I keep thinking about how the Jays may have lucked into an amazing situation, though. In terms of developing the young players, 60 games, go get them 200 at-bats. If they suck, nobody's going to freak out because it's an incomplete season. So if Vladdy Guerrero, instead of going out and hitting 350 like we all expected because he needed to be better, if he goes out and he hits 275, people will be like, well, you know, he didn't have enough reps. He didn't have enough time out there to really have a full season. So these guys get to develop under the bubble and security of lessened expectations. We have to suffer as Jays fans through less of a terrible year before they get better in 2022. This could be perfect for us, Maddie. And I can watch 60 bad games. I can't do 162 bad games, but my sheer sports happy can last long enough to watch 60 bad games with the Jays.
Nice. See, I think you have more excitement for it because you're not in it every day over the last couple of months talking about baseball and seeing all the examples of the union being either passive and doing nothing or just outright rejecting, or the tsunami of greed from the owners that I've been reading about every day. So I'm glad you're more excited than I am.
I haven't been a civilian during labor problems in 25 years. The last time was 94 and the lockout in hockey, and that really sucked. And I hated it then. But ever since then, I've had to cover them. Like starting in 1997, I had to start covering labor disputes. And if you have a totally different perspective.
Yeah.
But now I'm looking at this. I'm like, just wake me up when it's over. Like, if you want to go away and figure all this out, fine. I'll be here when you get back, but I don't care.
Yeah. I wish I, like, the Nationals, you think about them and you might think, hey, I can't wait. Will they be able to defend their title? But when I think of the Nationals, I think of Mark Lerner, originally okaying the cutting of the stipend of minor league players from like $500 to $400 to save almost $90,000, and the guy is worth over $5 billion.
Well, I guess you become worth over $5 billion when you worry about $90,000. But you know what always blows me away? Mm. Rich people parties. You know, the kind where there are peacocks walking around and ice sculptures. What's the richest party you've ever gone to?
I was at a gathering of about like 15 people, 20 people, and they hired members of one of the top opera companies in Toronto. And it was so cool because the power of an opera singer when you're like 6 feet away was that's, I always remember that. I might have been to more opulent ones, but that one sticks out.
That's cool. I think I've talked about this on the pod before, but my buddy married into the Stavro family.
Ooh.
And so when he got married, it was at Steve Stavro's Rosedale house, which was stunning, as you would expect. And the bathrooms, there was like a guest bathroom and they had stalls and phones in the stall. And this was pre-cell phones. And there was a suit of armor in the bathroom.
Ooh.
And my then girlfriend, now wife, phoned her sister. She's like, Marisa, you'll never believe this. I'm on the phone in the bathroom.
And I hope Sandra's sister said, get off the phone. I don't want to hear that.
You know, that was, I think, a learned behavior over the years.
Now everyone tweets while sitting on the toilet. That's a crazy party.
I was going to say, Matt, you're so obsessive about your bathroom practices. Will you bring a phone to the bathroom?
I will if I don't have a book, because I'm a time freak. And if I'm sitting there, I've got to always be productive. But I'm the guy that if I was the last person on planet Earth, I would still courtesy flush.
That's so funny. Question for you. I know you won't talk on when you're on the toilet. Yep. What if a call came through and it was important? Would you take it?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to put all my best acting while in that moment and thank my parents for paying for my bachelor's degree at McMaster.
You know, this provides us with a great segue to another AMC question about athletes and actors who played them that did not look like athletes. Talking about acting. I love this question. Do you want to roll yours out?
Yes. And before we get to it, when you were talking about great parties, maybe the best, one of the best meals I ever had was with my lawyer, Jeff Pollock, when he did like three different burgundies and lobster. Oh, it was glorious. You might not get that treatment, but this is how good and generous a man he is. He is our lawyer, and we had someone else sign up with them just about a week ago. So if you need a lawyer for any business, whether it's litigation, wills, states, trusts, Jeff Pollock, it's jeffpollock.com, Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com, 416-777-0088, 416-777-0088. A nice man, a good man who is damn good at his job. Now, for actors who pulled off the athlete role, here's a couple honorable mentions. Everyone talks about Kevin Costner and Tim Kupp. I went with Don Johnson. He nailed schmarmy golfer perfectly.
Good one.
My other honorable mentions, Charlie Sheen in Major League, Sylvester Stallone in Rocky, Bill Murray in Kingpin. I know it shouldn't have been there, but I'm always going to throw Kingpin in. Jamie Foxx, Any Given Sunday, Will Smith, Ali, and Kevin Costner, Bull Durham. Those are my honorable mentions. They didn't even make my top five.
Okay, so some of those are in my top five, but please continue.
So my top five, Hilary Swank, Million Dollar Baby.
She was an honorable mention for me.
Paul Newman, three different choices. I went with the first one, The Hustler.
Amazing, actually. He was also in my top five.
Number three, De Niro, Raging Bull.
Good one. Didn't think of it.
Number two, because you have to have a Kevin Costner, I'm going for Love of the Game, because he spent more time as an athlete on the mound than he did as a hitter or a catcher in Bull Durham. And he totally pulls off, you know, the older pitcher.
Good.
And number one, Mickey Rourke, the wrestler.
Ooh, that's a really good one. I didn't even include that. Okay, so I got for honorable mention your Hilary Swank one, which is a great pick. I would also throw Robert Redford in The Natural on that.
Yeah, I forgot. I just forgot about that.
He looked like a ball player who was just a little past his prime.
Yep.
I also had Paul Newman. I thought you picked The Hustler, right?
Yep.
I think I had Color of Money above The Hustler just because he looked so menacing as he moved around the table. So silky smooth and corrupt.
Yeah.
I also thought he was really good in Slapshot as Reg Dunlop.
He was. Oh, yeah.
We both had Jamie Foxx. And I would include Dennis Quaid in there as Cap because he looked like an aging quarterback.
He was Dan Marino. He was Dan Marino, even in the state of Florida.
He was really good. I included Cuba Gooding Jr. as Rod Tidwell in Jerry Maguire.
Yep.
The scene when he's shirtless and he's doing the show me the money, doesn't he just feel like the third receiver on a good team? He just looks like a slot back.
He's Alvin Harper.
I was thinking of, he's every Argo receiver of the last 20 years.
I had to get in some 90s NFL.
This is a bit of a cheat. I'm going to go with blue chips, not Shaq Penny and Matt Novak, who played the athletes. But I thought Nick Nolte was so convincing as a corrupt college coach.
Yes, he was.
And I think Kevin Costner, my number one was actually Kevin Costner, but in Bull Durham. Mm-hmm. He totally felt like a ball player.
He did. Oh, absolutely. Listen, my rule was I only wanted one Kevin Costner in my top five.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, and I forgot one more honorable mention. You mentioned a few boxing ones. I think Michael B. Jordan in Creed was really good.
Yeah, I've never seen Creed for some reason.
Oh, it's really good. And one of the keys to boxing movies is how credibly you can look like you're fighting. Like, it either goes cartoonish, like Rocky, which is why I didn't pick Rocky, because the fights just didn't feel real for me. And you could probably make the same case for De Niro, although he really did look like Jake LaMotta. But I think Michael B. Jordan actually had a nice rhythm when he was in the ring. He kind of felt like a boxer.
Cool.
And I think it was Antonio Tarver who actually played in the final Rocky movie. The one where he's old and then he fights the champ and he loses at the end. And I think it was Antonio Tarver who actually did a pretty good job acting and a great job boxing.
And for people wondering why Carl Weathers isn't on my list, he was an athlete. He was a college athlete. It's why also there's no Burt Reynolds. You know, so you couldn't have had a real collegiate background.
I love when you find the artists out there who grew up as athletes. I didn't know this until somewhat recently, but Warren Beatty was the quarterback of his high school football team and apparently was really good.
Of course he was. If you're that good looking, you're going to be a good quarterback.
He might be the most unfair human of all time.
He's up there.
He even had the cred. Now, there you go. All right. So do you got any more sports? I got a crazy sports question if you want to go there.
I'm doing up. What's your crazy sports question?
So I haven't listened to the pod yet, but I got a prompt saying that the Leaf report from The Athletic, there's a new one today. Mm-hmm. And it's attention grabbing question, clickbaity style, was, will stagnant cap force the Leafs to trade one of their core four? Well, of course I'm going to listen to that. But just because, why not? If that were true, Matt, which one would you trade of the core?
It's, my God, the classic Toronto question.
Right?
And also James Myrtle and Jonas. Those guys are always about the clickbait.
Knowing Jonas the way we do, I know he's always thinking, how do I angle this so that I can salaciously get more listeners?
I'd be shocked if he ever listened to his own podcast or was even aware when it's being released.
He won't tweet. He won't do anything that sounds even remotely like he's selling out. He's got more than anybody. Okay, so anyway.
Okay, here's the answer to this. Yeah. For this one, I'm going very simple. It's cop-out, but it's very simple. Who's the oldest?
Tavares.
Tavares. Trade him.
See, I was thinking about this. I would have said that, too, unless you think the Leafs window is within the next 2 years. because you don't want to lose your second center because they're a little thin organizationally at center, in which case I think it would become Marner because you could probably get more for him than you could Nylander. And Nylander's contract starting to feel like it's got real nice value to it. If he's going to be this guy moving forward, $7 million is going to be a steal. And that clears up 11, and you can do a heck of a lot with 11. But you know what I really liked about this, Matt? I saw it, and you know what happened when I saw this prompt? I cared what the answer was.
Oh, that's great.
You know what that tells me?
Yeah.
It's not over.
No.
We can just jump back in where we left off.
Mm-hmm. We will wring our hands about Corona, but when the game starts, I'll be like, can I get a little vacation? Can I get a hall? Can I get a hall pass from responsibility?
All of the stupid worries, like sports wise, like all those dumb narratives will all come back.
I can't wait for Nylander to float on defense.
How much?
I can't wait for me. I've got it, 3-4 minutes.
Okay. Do you want to do anything while we got this time left with AMC, or you want to just talk about how this is the beginning of summer vacation for kids?
Yeah. What's going? You know what? Let's talk. Let's focus on you. How's Charlotte? How's family doing on your end?
She's good. She was a little sad yesterday. You remember when you were a kid and you'd be sad? Like you're happy because it's summer, but you're not going to see your teacher again. You know, there's so much.
No, Bob. I never was sad. I wasn't going to see my teacher. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, that was you. For us nerds,
yeah,
there was always a little bit of sadness. You know, it's weird. I don't know if this is true all over the school board, but her grade one teacher is still at the same school, but now it'll be three teachers in a row that were basically brought in for a one-year hit and leave. Mm-hmm. It's kind of transient.
Mm.
I don't know if that's common or not, but she was sad because she was like, I'll never see her again, and I was kind of thinking, well, you're probably right. Like, I think it'd be different if she knew she could roll in September or whenever it starts up again and see the same teacher and have some kind of continuity. I felt sort of bad about that. You know, these kids, they kind of get like these, it's like airplane food or something, you know, like it's just sort of disposable.
Well, just do what I did. Go up to your island cottage on Lake Muskoka.
Excellent point, Matt. Why hadn't I thought of that?
I don't know.
By the way, I thought of you yesterday.
Yeah.
Because Sandra and I indulged ourselves for the millionth time in the where would we live conversation if we could live anywhere.
Yep.
And we started talking about Prince Edward County.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
All the usual bullshit. But she looked at me and it wasn't even shaming. She just said, you got to learn to drive. And so.
Oh, yeah.
Like my Argo fandom. Starting on Monday, the drive for drive.
What?
I'm going to learn to drive. I'm starting Monday. I'm going to start studying the book.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go get my license, and then I'm going to take lessons. I have to do it because I can't hold my family back anymore.
Oh, my God. Why did you wait for the end of this?
Because we both know I'm never going to do it.
Come on, Bob. The open road, freedom, you know, being able to drive places and such.
I got to admit, there's something really attractive about the idea of wanting to go somewhere and being able to get there.
The flip side is you've got to turn left or right on Queen Street from your home at some point.
I don't know. I generally like to walk and walk and walk till I get to Spadina and then turn around.
Yep. So do I.
Okay, pal. Well,
come on, Bob. Oh, well, listen.
No, I'm going to do it because I think that I just want to shut you up finally. And then we can get to what a bad driver I am. Will be the next round of torture for the next 25 years will be what a shitty driver I am.
Yeah, we just moved the goalposts. Yeah.
See? Nothing changes. It all stays the same. Who from the core four is getting traded?
Perfect way to end this, Bob. Very exciting. You have a great weekend. We will talk next week.
Take care, buddy boy.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.